Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. An evangelical Christian in Great Britain was arrested in recent days, charged with, let me just read it to you here, threatening, abusive, and insulting behavior and words. What did he do? He passed out a pamphlet that had basically nothing more than verses from the scripture dealing with homosexuality. He did so at a rally of homosexuals and was arrested for this. What we're going to be talking about today is the tightening of this culture around us when it comes to religious liberty. On an issue like homosexuality, and it could be any number of other issues, both present and future, in which the reality of religious liberty is being conscribed, in fact, it's being redefined right before our eyes, so that it means your right to be a Christian so long as you're quiet about what the Bible says about any number of things that are ruled to be protected by speech and behavior. We're going to be talking with two experts from Great Britain about this that are really going to be helpful to us, a reporter and a representative of a Christian think tank there. And this does require intelligent Christian thinking. We need to think about this whole issue at two different levels. And I want to be clear about that today. And when we come back to it in just a moment, I'll be clear about it again. At one level, we should talk about the missiological issue here. The evangelistic issue here. In other words, how ought Christians best, most effectively and most faithfully, to present Christian truth claims in the public square? That's issue one. The second is, how do we understand what it would mean to be a Christian when religious liberty is basically denied us to speak to these things? Now, issue one is really important, but that's going to be another program. Today, it's issue two. What happens when you get arrested simply for saying in one way or another, this is what the Bible says about homosexuality? We'll be talking about that in just a moment. To get ready to call, the number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. First, to review some other issues in the news yesterday, we talked about the fact that the former Iranian president, Khatami, has been invited to both Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government and to the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. The outrage is right now being focused in the political sphere upon what's going to happen at Harvard, where in Massachusetts, Governor Mitt Romney has said he will allow no expenditure of state funds to protect and provide security for the former Iranian president. But the real issue here, I think, is for the National Cathedral. And here you have a cathedral of the Episcopal Church in America that has invited a man to speak who is himself one who has persecuted believers of many sorts. As a matter of fact, he has allowed during his time Sunni and Sufi Muslims, Shia Muslims, Christians, Baha'is, and Jews to be persecuted, some of them arrested, some of them even executed during his tenure as the president of Iran. You know, folks, this is one of those situations in which the rest of the world looks at the West and laughs at us. And in terms of Christian witness, what in the world does this mean? This is not just some world leader. It's not even just the representative of some other faith. That would be enough right there for most churches that understand the priority of the gospel. But it's also a man who has openly persecuted those of these faiths. This is just another example of the kind of insanity that is taking root around us. Folks, at my website at Albert Mohler, that's MOHLER.com, I published a couple of articles overnight because, again, we see things that help us to understand the tenor of the times. And as Christians, we need to be aware that there are developments all around us that require an intelligent Christian response. We need to be attuned to what is going on in the culture. We have to be if we're going to be effective in terms of living and thinking as Christians, raising our children as Christians, and offering an effective Christian witness. 40 years ago, the radical philosopher Herbert Marcuse penned an essay entitled Repressive Tolerance. Now, Marcuse is one of those philosophers who was just really, really very much an object of adoration among the hippies. In fact, they really loved him because of his philosophy of free love. But it was his essay on repressive tolerance that really gained a lot of attention because Marcuse becomes the fountain of the idea that tolerance does not mean tolerating all positions. It means tolerating all positions that tolerate all positions. In other words, any restrictive belief system is not to be tolerated because it won't tolerate everything. Now, this, of course, is not tolerance. It's not tolerance at all, but it's tolerance dressed up in this postmodern age, sometimes backed up with a Marxist philosophy, to say that what we will accept are the positions that we will tolerate, and we'll call that tolerance. Now, what brings that to mind is a very recent interview and article that was published at the website for the Unitarian Universalist Church. And it has to do with Sam Harris's book, The End of Faith. We have talked about that on this program, and you remember that Sam Harris is the author who argues that that faith, religion of any sort, is inherently dangerous, not to be eradicated. He says we need to eliminate religious liberty. That's why this is so timely for our conversation today. And we just need to say it's pernicious, and this we just need to outgrow this idea, what he considers an antique and romantic notion, that somehow faith is something not to be tolerated. Now, you would think that the Unitarian Universalists, who represent the most broad-minded denomination in America, they're not a Christian denomination. They don't even claim to be a Christian denomination. That's the Universalism and Unitarian Universalism. But in this release, on their own website, they are dealing with the question as to whether religious liberty should be continued. Now, listen to this. I'm going to read to you directly from their site. So now, as freedom, reason, and tolerance are all under siege in our society, does self-preservation require religious liberals to abandon our commitment to religious tolerance? That's the question mark. They answer their own question. The Reverend Dr. William R. Murray, a leading Unitarian Universalist minister and former president of Meadville Lombard Theological School in Chicago, says, quote, "I get a little impatient with the concept that we should tolerate all religions because people are entitled to their own beliefs. If a religion is based on ignorance and irrationality and totalitarianism, there is no need to stand aside and pretend that that's okay. What I would say about tolerance is that we cannot tolerate intolerance," end quote. Well, there you have it. Herbert Marcuse must be smiling from the grave. He died in the late 1970s. You know, but here you have that belief system, that philosophy coming right back on the rebound. And what you have is the epitome of religious liberalism. When you're talking about William Murray, you're talking about the far extreme of the far, far left. And he is in the denomination that puts tolerance right in its mission statement. This is who we are. That's what we're all about. Until it comes to something we don't want to tolerate, which in this case is clearly traditional Orthodox Christianity. That's what he's talking about. That's the context of the article. Now, the leader of the denomination has tried to back off of this somewhat. I'm reading again from their website. The Reverend William G. Sinkford, president of the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations, disagrees with Harris. To do anything other than respect the beliefs of others, even those who challenge ours, even those who challenge our right to exist, he says, would, and I quote, violate our religious principles so deeply that it's simply not an option. We have to remain as we are as religious people. The least helpful kind of discourse is one which tries to prove who is right theologically, end quote. Well, folks, there are two wrong construals of religious liberty in one article. Two wide of the mark, basically unsustainable understandings of religious liberty. First of all, you have Mr. Murray's definition of religious liberty, which is you tolerate the positions that you tolerate. And then you have Mr. Sinkford's definition, in which he says religious toleration means you have to avoid the truth question. Just to repeat his words, he said the least helpful kind of discourse is one which tries to prove who is right theologically. In contrast to those two false positions, is what we understand as the historic nature of chartered pluralism, of true religious liberty and true toleration, which is that we stand for the right of every single human being to show up as who he or she is, to show up making the case for his or her beliefs, to be able to have access to the public square to say, this is who I am, this is what I believe, this is what animates me, to engage in public discourse with the exchange and even collision of worldviews and belief systems in order to say mutual respect and real toleration and genuine liberty require that we all be able to show up and make our case in a way that recognizes the equal right of others to make their case as well. Now, chartered liberty or chartered pluralism is the very essence of the American Constitution. That's the kind of debate you find in the Federalist Papers. This is not new stuff. But it is coming up in a dangerous new guise. And when you have something like this, even on the website of the Unitarian Universalist Association, folks, you know that something is afoot. At the University of Virginia, there is a growing controversy over the student newspaper's publication of several cartoons that make fun of Christian beliefs. And folks, I've seen the cartoons, and they are way, way over the line. What's interesting is that the paper's editors, when responding to demands for an apology, have refused to do so. When, just very recently, even a matter of months ago, the paper apologized for a very mild cartoon that even in a sideways, accidental glance offended some homosexuals. Now, the issue here is not whether Christians should be continually offended by such things. It's what it reveals about a student newspaper in a prestigious American university that thinks that homosexuals are a constituency who are owed an apology and Christians are not. Let's not think about this in terms of sensitivity. Let's just think about this in terms of what it says about the culture we're trying to reach. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program in Great Britain. As a matter of fact, it was in Wales. A Christian was recently arrested. You're going to want to hear about his crime, and we're going to be thinking and talking about what that means for us. On the program with me today, I want to welcome Mr. Colin Hart, who is the director of the Christian Institute, a major Christian think tank in Great Britain, and also Melanie Phillips, who is a British journalist and author, winner of the Orwell Prize for Journalism. She is with the Daily Mail. Welcome both to this program.
Thanks very much.
Hello.
Let me ask, first of all, Melanie Phillips, can you tell us what happened in this case?
An evangelical Christian campaigner, Mr. Stephen Green, was handing out leaflets at a gay rally in Wales. The leaflets merely contained verses from the Bible which criticise homosexuality and say it's a sin, and otherwise, on the leaflet was simply some text saying that homosexuals should turn from your sins and you will be saved. Mr. Green, by all accounts, was behaving entirely peacefully. All he did was hand out the leaflets. And he was arrested and charged with abusing, threatening, abusing, abusive or insulting words or behaviour. Since his behaviour was entirely peaceful, it was the words that were in contention. And the words were the words of the 1611 King James Bible. They were simply the words of the Bible saying that homosexuality was wrong. And this, according to the British police, their interpretation of the law is that this is now a criminal act to hand out the words of the Bible because it is basically saying disobliging things about homosexuals. And in our upside-down culture in Britain, if you criticise a minority such as gay people, you can be had up before the law. Now, it remains to be seen whether Mr. Green, who has been charged, will actually be successfully prosecuted. The case has been adjourned. And there are a number of lawyers who think that for obvious reasons, or what should be obvious reasons, the case doesn't have a chance of getting through. But we'll see. It remains the fact that in Britain today, the police have arrested a Christian simply for distributing the words of the Bible.
Now, Melanie Phillips has written an essay, an article in the Daily Mail, entitled How Britain is Turning Christianity into a Crime. Ms. Phillips, I think most listeners to this program would simply be astounded to know that a man could be arrested simply for passing out the words of the 1611 King James Bible with the edited sections having to do with homosexuality. What does this tell you as a journalist about the nature of religious liberty, for instance, in Great Britain, and what this says about even Christian witness in the public square there in your country?
Well, what it tells me is that religious liberty is very much under threat in Britain at the moment. This is by no means the first time this has happened. There have been several cases of a similar nature. An evangelical preacher was convicted of a public order offence. This was some years ago, after he held up a poster calling for an end to homosexuality, lesbianism and immorality. He himself was assaulted by the crowd. He had soil and water poured over him. But although he was assaulted, he was the one who was prosecuted. Two pensioners were interrogated by police for 80 minutes about their, in quotes, homophobic views after they'd merely asked their local council to display Christian literature alongside gay rights leaflets in civic buildings. And there are other examples like that. So what's happening in Britain? It's a completely Alice in Wonderland world that we're living in now in Britain. And it's, it really derives from our whole multicultural minority rights assumption, which holds that if you are a minority, a sexual minority, such as homosexuals, a religious minority, an ethnic minority, whatever, then your values basically trump those of the majority. If your values conflict with those of the majority, it is an act of prejudice by the majority to act against you or to speak against you, because as a minority, you're essentially oppressed. And therefore, homosexuals, the whole gay rights movement is predicated on this on this understanding that what is what was once considered to be the upholding of moral norms becomes an act of prejudice against them.
And so, it hasn't been that long ago, even in Great Britain, that homosexual activity was actually criminalized itself. And so you have a massive reversal of the law here. Let me turn to Colin Hart of the Christian Institute. Mr. Hart, as a Christian believer and the head of a think tank there, you know, what are you thinking about this? I mean, you know, how are evangelical Christians in Great Britain responding to something like this? Is there the real threat of being arrested for preaching, for instance, on homosexuality in a local church?
Well, I don't think in a local church, but certainly we've seen a case in Sweden, haven't we, where a pastor was prosecuted and convicted and sentenced to a month in jail, and prosecutors wanted to increase that to 6 months, and then he appealed and overturned it. But what's happening here is we're seeing people who are, we have a great tradition in this country going back for centuries of street preaching, and street preachers are being moved on by the police. They're being asked to go to another place, or they're being asked to shut up. So that is really worrying.
Well, I should say so. And, you know, I really appreciate the fact that both of our guests are with us here, because it's quite late in Britain tonight. But, you know, this is an issue that, even though it's in Great Britain right now, the logic, I want to say to both of you, is here in this country. And you can just do a quick search of law review articles and some judgments here and discover that even though we have a First Amendment in the U.S. Constitution, our Bill of Rights is supposed to have an unqualified protection for religious liberty, this same kind of logic can come here. Let me go back to Melanie Phillips for just a moment. As you look at this as a journalist, you have to be watching what's taking. And by the way, I've read two of your books, Almost Have Prizes and Londinistan. I really appreciate what you do here. And so when I'm looking at this, I say, with your ability to read the culture, where does this go?
Well, what we're doing, and you've mentioned very kindly my book, Londonistan, and I wrote that as a warning. It was recently published in America, too. I wrote it as a warning about the fact that Britain is simply hollowing out its own culture. This is not particularly to do with homosexuality. It's a whole range of things. But for the last, I would say, going back to the, really to the Second World War almost, certainly many decades, Britain's intelligentsia, its governing class, its ruling elites, have been systematically attacking the core precepts of British society and indeed Western civilization, attacking marriage, attacking moral norms, whereas once, you know, it was considered wrong for unmarried women to have babies, now it's considered wrong to criticize them. We've turned everything upside down, and we've created a very, very dangerous vacuum, which a cultural and moral desert, if you like. And, you know, nature abhors a vacuum, and I think we've made ourselves particularly vulnerable to Islamic extremism, which is what I wrote my book Londonistan about. But there's a much deeper problem than Islamic extremism, because that is only being able to come in because we no longer know what we believe in anymore. We no longer know what values we're supposed to be defending. You can't defend your values against an external threat if you're busy undermining them from within. We've turned everything on its head. We've got rid of the notion of truth. We no longer say there's anything such a thing as truth. We say everything is relative, everything's a matter of opinion. We say there are no moral norms, because if there are moral norms, then the people who transgress moral norms are somehow the victims of discrimination or prejudice. And that has become the thing that must be guarded against. So we've turned everything on its head, and this prosecution of this Christian gentleman is but the latest example of that.
Again, folks, what we're talking about here is the arrest of a man by the name of Stephen Green, who was charged with a crime just because he passed out pamphlets at a gay rights rally that had selected verses from the 1611 King James Bible dealing with homosexuality printed therein. And that was enough to get him arrested. And as Melanie Phillips has made clear, it isn't the first case. We have our two guests, Colin Hart and Melanie Phillips, both from Great Britain. And now there is the opportunity for you to join the conversation. The phone number is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Both Mr. Hart and Ms. Phillips are going to be with us for the next segment for just a moment, because there's more to this story. And it's not just about Great Britain. The logic, as I've already said, is deeply embedded here. The question is, how do we as thinking Christians respond thoughtfully to it? We'll be right back.
Listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back, folks. You know, we began this week talking about the forced conversions of the two Fox News journalists there on the West Bank and really what that represents in terms of a denial of humanity and human rights and what that says even theologically about those that would demand it and just a host of issues. And yet now we're talking about not an Islamic regime or Islamic captors. We're talking about Great Britain, our close ally. And in many ways, our mother culture. And we're talking about the fact that a man there has been arrested merely for passing out pamphlets with verses in the King James Bible dealing with homosexuality printed upon them. And he found himself arrested and facing charges. And with us on the line, we have Colin Hart with a major think tank there in Great Britain, the Christian Institute. And we have also Melanie Phillips of the Daily Mail. Let me turn to Mr. Hart for just a moment, because I want to throw this as I can to you with an honest question. Given the fact that the Church of England is the state church, the national church of Great Britain, given the 39 articles and the clear statement of its own scriptural affirmations, and given the fact that at least there is a clear remnant within the Church of England that believes that the Bible is indeed the Word of God, is it now illegal, basically, in Great Britain to hold to one of the core beliefs of the state church?
Well, it sounds perverse, doesn't it? But I think the problem we have is that we have the law being selectively applied, that groups that are shouting very loud are actually getting the police to act. We're seeing gay rights groups working with the police at these sort of rallies. They have special minority support groups that do police these events and arrest people who stand in the way. And we're seeing also a collapse of, although the doctrine in the Church of England, I would say, is great and clearly evangelical in the 39 articles, it's not believed in Great Britain and in North America, as we know. But it is believed in the rest of the Anglican Communion. They are very firm in Africa and Asia and other parts of the world. They do believe in what the Bible says about homosexuality, but not in the West. And so there is a weakness there, and the Bible is not really being defended, and there's a weakness amongst the bishops. One bishop who did stand up was the Bishop of Chester. He cited research showing that people can reorientate, if they're homosexual, to a heterosexual lifestyle. And he was quoting research actually by a man called Spitzer, an American, who actually is a leading supporter of gay rights.
Yes.
And he found that gays can change.
Okay. We just lost Mr. Hart. Let me very quickly go to Ms. Phillips. Let me ask you this. I ask you where this is going. What do you think is going to happen in Great Britain, just in light of this one case? Do you expect a backlash against this, or is there even enough sense of national identity and concern for there to be a backlash?
Well, I would expect our judges, who I have to say leave a lot to be desired in this sort of area of human rights, they always get it wrong. But I think this is such an egregiously dangerous and appalling case that I can't really see even our judges going along with this. So I would expect to see this being thrown out in the courts. That may be a rash thing for me to say, because, as I say, our courts tend to be rather perverse, but I would expect that to happen. But as Colin Hart has just said, what the courts may rule to be, you know, out of bounds doesn't alter the fact that there's a general culture, a general set of cultural expectations, a general cultural collapse that's gone on in Britain, which is enabling and forcing the police to form this very, very perverse view, so that it goes around arresting people like Mr. Green, which isn't in itself oppressive and completely out of order.
Well, at the very least... Yes, thank you. At the very least, this arrest will have a chilling effect upon Christian witness in any other context. It says a great deal now that anyone who would even think of passing out a pamphlet with scriptural citations on an issue like homosexuality must at least do so, fearing, perhaps realistically, being arrested, right?
Well, absolutely. The trouble is that Britain is a pretty anti-religious country right now, and it remains to be seen whether the Church of England, which is not known for its courage in these matters, will stand up and make a fuss. Because if it doesn't, then I think that the prospects for Christianity in Britain do look a bit grim.
It has been our honor today to have as guest Melanie Phillips, columnist with the Daily Mail, and we'll put up at the website this evening a link to her articles and columns so you can keep up with her writings, and also Mr. Colin Hart, who's director of the Christian Institute, a major think tank there in Great Britain. Both to Mr. Hart and Ms. Phillips, thank you so much for joining us today.
Good to speak to you. Thank you.
It is late in Great Britain, and I really appreciate the fact that they stayed with us, because this is an important issue to them as well as to us and to you. The phone number is 877-893-8255. How do we as Christians think about this? We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Miller Program. You know, this is one of those news stories that makes you look at it once, twice, three times, just to make sure you're really reading it correctly. Because we don't want to do thinking by anecdote. In other words, something that's odd and eccentric and is not representative of a pattern really doesn't deserve our time. It may have an individual cost and an individual importance, a local significance, but it's not something that should be discussed in terms of long-range Christian thinking. But when it is something that is a part of a pattern, that's where we need to have the concern. And that's why it was so good, and I'm just very thankful for this, it was so good to have Melanie Phillips and Colin Hart on just to talk about this, to make clear that this is a part of a pattern. And the fact that this is a British police action that is still, right now, standing as a live case, that needs to tell us a whole lot. And you know, when you think about this, there are all kinds of issues. We had Josh on the line who was going to talk about whether or not this is an appropriate way to do Christian evangelism. That is a very legitimate question. And I'll just be honest, this isn't the way I would have gone about it. In other words, I would not have just printed this up and gone out to a gay rights rally and passed that out. There are gay rights rallies all over the place, and I've never done it. I've never committed it to be done. I don't think that is necessarily, I'll say that more strongly. I don't think it is the most effective way to do Christian witness. I don't think that's how you find persons open to hear the gospel. But that's not the issue when it comes down to religious liberty. It is just absolutely frightening to think that it will be illegal to do it. Those are two different questions, aren't they? The fact that it would be illegal, the fact that you would be arrested simply for passing out Bible verses. And we've talked about this again in Canada. We had someone arrested for a billboard. We've had people arrested for bumper stickers, just with scripture. And even Colin Hart, speaking of the arrest of Ake Green there in Europe for having, of all things, preached a sermon on homosexuality. And he found himself under arrest. He found himself not only under arrest, he found himself convicted and in jail before his case was reversed on appeal. You know, when I was a teenager, back longer ago than I'd like to remember, the question used to be asked at a lot of youth rallies and, a lot of church youth services. They would come and they would say, if the Soviets, I was back during the Soviet threat, the Cold War, if the Soviets came and invaded and took over the United States and made Christianity a crime, would there be sufficient evidence to prosecute and convict you? That's the kind of question a 16-year-old can understand. Would there be enough evidence that you're a Christian, that you could be prosecuted and convicted for this? Well, this just reminds me of a very different question, and that is, would you continue to speak Christian truth if merely handing out verses from the Bible could get you arrested? I think that's a whole new question. To join the conversation, call 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. It really is important that we consider what this case means. And again, this is not even Europe in terms of the continent. This is Great Britain. This is the nation that in so many ways is the cradle of our own civilization, and in particular, the cradle of our own law, British common law is the underlying foundation, most historically immediately, of American law. And our Constitution, though different than the British unwritten Constitution, is nonetheless deeply rooted in British constitutional thinking. And this just tells us that what is going on over there could very easily be going on over here. And I mentioned to both Mr. Hart and Ms. Phillips that this is going on already in terms of articles and arguments being made in the elite academic centers of America. It goes right back to what we talked about in terms of my article published this morning, doesn't it? This false idea of tolerance, that you now have people on the far left arguing that the only tolerance that can be tolerated is the tolerance that tolerates everything. And this new model of tolerance that means you can't tolerate a position that doesn't tolerate everything. That's the kind of world we are now entering, and that is the kind of frightening prospect that we have before us. You know, religious liberty only works. Religious liberty only works if you really have the liberty to say what you believe and to speak from your own convictions without fear of arrest. Let's go to Mark listening to the XM 170 calling from Cincinnati, Ohio. Go ahead, Mark.
I just have a question for you, Dr. Mueller. What are these people getting arrested for?
The official charge that was laid against Mr. Green is that he had passed out this literature, and so he was, and I want to read directly from the charge against him. It was that he had engaged in, quote, offensive behavior, end quote.
So that's justifiable basis for police to arrest somebody?
They arrested him. And here's the exact charge I'm going to read from it. He engaged in, quote, threatening, abusive, or insulting words or behavior, end quote. And all he did was pass out pamphlets with verses from the King James Bible.
Wow. That just seems totally embellished by, you know, by the leftists that, you know, totally changing things and saying, making things up to whatever they want.
Yeah, what we have here, and this is where Melanie Phillips and Colin Hart were so helpful calling in from Great Britain as our guests, to say that the logic here is that special interest groups, in particular the homosexual lobby, has such influence with the law and with the police in Great Britain that they are actually working with the police to basically hunt people down who are doing this kind of thing, to shut down the ability of anyone to offer a biblical critique of their lifestyle. Mark, you're calling from Cincinnati, Ohio. Is this anything that you can reasonably fear would happen there?
Yeah, actually, I mean, Ohio's a little bit more conservative, but I could see that happening in California or New York or someplace like that.
Yeah, Mark, your argument is exactly where I think the reality is, and that is that if it's not here, then it's a matter of time. The logic is already embedded in what's going on. And this is why in this country it's so dangerous when you hear proposals for hate crimes, because you know, no one should escape prosecution for any crime, period, if it's a crime. The motivation, frankly, should not be legally significant. It is a crime. And if one abuses or hurts or assaults someone, it ought to be abuse or assault. But to do so on the basis of a conviction, that's just something else altogether. And once you leave the hate crime and you go to the hate speech, well, there you're really entering an Orwellian world, aren't you? In which you can't even say the truth. You can't say, I believe that homosexuality is a sin because I believe that the scripture teaches that, because that's now hateful language. If it hurts someone's feelings with this new cult of sensitivity, you simply can't say it. What we are seeing is the constriction of religious liberty and the redefinition of tolerance. You know, thinking Christians have to be very, very careful about this. And one of the big questions for us is whether we would be willing to be arrested, if that's what it takes to tell the truth. I'll be right back with some final thoughts, coast to coast. This is the Albert Mueller Program. Well, we have picked up on some common themes today. I began by talking about this idea of tolerance, and you heard the representative, Mr. Murray, Dr. Murray of the Unitarian Universalist Church say, you know, he's beginning to rethink the whole issue of religious liberty because obviously there are some persons who just don't deserve it. And, you know, what should be tolerated are only those positions that that tolerate all other positions. So we heard that, and then we heard what is going on in Great Britain, where you had an evangelical Christian arrested merely for passing out a pamphlet with verses on homosexuality from the 1611 King James Bible. And I think that's what maybe, just even in the short compress of time in this program, some people didn't get. He didn't go out to people and force the pamphlets on them. He did not write in his pamphlet hateful and slanderous things. He didn't call for any attack upon homosexuals. He didn't do anything like that. In fact, there was nothing in the pamphlet other than Bible verses. But that was enough. And that's all it took. Now, when you look at that case, again, the question is this merely some accident that took place and was it quickly rectified and did the police apologize and move on? If so, it would not be worthy of our conversation today. That hasn't happened. No, to the contrary. What has happened is that this man was arrested and he is still under charges and his case is to go to court. Now, also in recent days, some firefighters in Scotland have been threatened with their jobs because they just refused in a parade to pass out gay rights leaflets, and because they refused to do so, they've been charged with a hate crime. Now, this is happening all over Great Britain. It is happening throughout the United Kingdom. It is happening not only there, but of course across Europe, and it is happening in terms of some arenas in the United States. It's happening in its own way, and at this point, I have no evidence that anyone has been arrested for a crime. It has happened in Canada, but I have no evidence that anyone has been arrested in the United States. But folks, before we get to that point, we need to take seriously the fact that this logic, these arguments are taking root. They're gaining ground in this country. And it follows the logic of sensitivity. It follows the logic of political correctness. And it is something that is almost inevitable in a secularized public square. We need to reclaim what it means to have genuine chartered liberty and genuine chartered pluralism. And by charter, I mean constitutional. We have a national charter that says that the government cannot infringe religious liberty. How else would you characterize the arrest of a man simply for passing out a pamphlet that contained Bible verses? Folks, we'll watch this one with you. But let's go back to that question that I mentioned a few minutes ago. If it were a crime, and you knew it were a crime, would you still tell the truth as a Christian? That may be the great question for us as we look ahead. I'll see you tomorrow. This is Albert Mohler.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.